The Apostle Paul writes, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your holy word this morning. Lord, we thank you and praise you for this place, Lord, that we can gather together. We can see one another's face. We can sing praises unto you. We can hear your word. Lord, we can commune with you. Father, never let us take this for granted. Lord, there are places all over this world where people are gathering together to worship you and to read your word that are gathered in fear of persecution and in secret. Oh Lord, thank you that we can do this freely and publicly. Help us, Lord, today as we come to your word. May your Holy Spirit open our eyes and open our hearts and open our ears with what you need for us to have. And Lord, may we leave here today changed. Not by a determination in our minds, but Lord, because of the propelling of your Holy Spirit in our lives. That we may be used for the upbuilding and edification of your kingdom, that we may give your name glory in all that we do. We thank you, Father. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So since the beginning of September, we have been going through a series called Next Step. Next Step, moving forward in our faith. And we've talked about these next steps that God calls us to take, both personally and corporately as a church. And these steps are in no particular order, but next steps that we were to have that we may live into the new that God has for us, that we may be able to glorify God in where he has called us and whom he has called us to serve, that we may shine forth as a light for the gospel and draw men and women unto Jesus. And we started by looking at a passage in Luke where Jesus calls people unto him to serve him, and each one of them had an excuse as to why they couldn't go. And so we started by saying that next step that we're going to take in our faith is we're not going to offer any more excuses, but we're going to be obedient in following Jesus with where he has called us to go and what he has called us to do. The next week we looked at our new vision statement, which is an epic vision statement. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, where it says, "Therefore may we present everyone perfect in Christ." And we talk about how that was Paul's mission for the church, Paul's vision for the church, and how it should be our vision, that we are to go forth as the Lord's army and proclaim the gospel, and we are stewarded in this world to present everyone perfect in Christ, meaning people need to be saved. Amen? People need to be saved. Then we looked at what are we willing to do for the gospel's sake? How are we willing to make ourselves uncomfortable and maybe even at a disadvantage and maybe even lower ourselves on the totem pole of the ranks within our church for the gospel's sake, so that way more and more people may know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and grow in his love and his grace. Pastor Mark Fair came in for a week and he talked about how one of the next steps that the church needs to take is growing in truth living. You know, I asked Pastor Mark Fair when he did, I asked him about a month and a half before he spoke here, that if he would speak on a Sunday here, and he said, "Well, that's wonderful. What do you want me to preach on?" And I said, well, here's the series we're doing. I said, but here's what I want you to focus on, what you want to pray about. I said, what is a message that you always wanted to preach to the church that you felt you couldn't? And what the Lord led him to and what the Holy Spirit led him to, again, not out of anger, not out of, you bunch of fools. I've always wanted to say this, but I've held back. But what the Lord led him to in love in taking that next step is that we may grow in living in truth and not being deceived. That there are so many things in our culture and so many false gospels and false narratives in our culture and in our church that can lead us to be deceived. And ladies and gentlemen, I've said this to you before, and it's very true. The devil does not want to destroy God's church by wiping it out. The devil wants to create a counterfeit church where you feel safe, comfortable, and secure, but you're still going to hell. And so we talked about growing in truth living, understanding what truth is and living in that truth and not being deceived. The next step we took was walking worthy, and we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, and we said that if we're going to take the next step as the body of Christ, that we need to walk worthy of our calling, which is to be in unity in Christ with one another. And we talked about a lot of the divisions that have divided the church and a lot of the things that have kept us from loving and living out that calling that we're called to in unity in Christ. And the steps that we need to do, that a lot of people love the idea of coming together and being one body, but we don't necessarily want to do it. We just want to snap our fingers and think that the Holy Spirit's going to make everything better. No, we are charged to walk it out, right? Putting up with one another, being faithful to one another, encouraging one another, right? All of those really tough things. And then last week we looked at how do we know His will. That ultimately to take the next step in our faith, we need to know and understand God's will for our lives. And knowing that will is not some kind of magical thing of who does God have as my future husband or wife or what exactly job does God want me to do, but rather it's something that encompasses all of the little things. Our will for, or the will that God has for us is very simple, to seek Him, to share Him, and to stand for Him, no matter what it is that we have been called to do. To seek Him, to share Him, and to stand for Him. Well, today we're looking at, it may be the last one, I don't know, we may continue on. The Lord may give me a couple more steps that we need to take. Or in a lot of ways, I don't know about you, but I just want to share this with you. Just so you know, I'm not just preaching to y'all, but over the last month and a half, I've been preaching to myself too. That's usually how it is with a pastor. You preach to yourself. The Lord oftentimes gives you something to share for the church, but what does He say, right? I'm the pastor, so I'm the leader, so it means that if I am going to preach something to you, the Lord has to first get it right with me. So I've had some people say, Pastor, these messages have been really challenging. And you've been hitting on some chords and stepping on some feet. And I want you to know that as I'm doing that, it's also coming to me as well. Remember, I got to put up with myself and I got to put up with the Holy Spirit throughout the entire week of preparing a message before you get to hear it. So I get it 6 times over before you get it on the 7th day. But we're doing this thing together. Amen, church? And I appreciate and I covet your prayers as we do it. So today we're going to look at this next step of coming out from among them. Coming out from among them. And that's the focus of the passage today. It's where Paul says in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate." And be ye separate. Now, the Apostle Paul knew that this was going to be a very challenging thing that the church in Corinth needed to hear. The church of Corinth oftentimes can be described as a church that somewhat shows of our society today, where the culture in the United States has creeped into a lot of the church. And in a lot of ways, you cannot differentiate between an unbeliever and a believer today. Because in a lot of ways, churches share the same values. As long as we're good and we're nice and we accept, then everything's all right. But that's not the kind of life that God calls us to. That's not the kind of life that God calls us to. And the Apostle Paul, I want to start actually in verse 11 today because he's preparing the church at Corinth to hear this word that he has for them, this very challenging word that he has for them. And folks, if it's a very challenging word for the people 2,000 years ago, it's a very challenging word for you and I to hear today too. That's why I appreciate how the Holy Spirit led us in preparing the service this week, and how it led Brother Ron and Brother Ryan to put the songs together, because we desperately need the Holy Spirit to move and work. And there was a recurring theme there. To prepare our hearts, to soften our hearts. Look what Paul says, beginning at verse 11, to the church of Corinth. He says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." Now what is it saying there? Paul is basically saying, look, church at Corinth, I and my associates have poured out our hearts to you. We have not held back. We have shown you the love of parents. And Paul could claim that to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was started by Paul. And a lot of them were his spiritual children. And he says, look, we have loved you like a father loves their children. We have not held back. We've poured out and invested in you. But there's something wrong. He says, church at Corinth, and remember, this is the second letter to him. He says, y'all have held back from us. Y'all still don't necessarily believe even in my calling. Did you ever notice that? Every time the Apostle Paul starts a letter in the epistles, he has to validate his apostleship. That's because of who he was. We talked about his testimony last week. Who he was before he came to know Christ. And so he got a lot of pushback from churches. He got a lot of pushback from Christian leaders. And so he's saying to them, look, we've opened our hearts to you, but you still have not opened your hearts to us. He's saying, we've shown you nothing but the love of a parent. Will you please, in return, show the love of a child to their parents and listen to us? Because we only have your best interest at heart. I only have your best interest at heart. We want for you what a parent wants for their children. And some things may be tough to hear, and some things may be tough to chew on, and some things may be tough to swallow, but trust me, it's for your own good in your growth. So he's saying, please, enlarge your heart. Return unto us the same thing. You got to love the King James here. It says, unstraighten or straighten your bowels. I'll let you take care of the imagery for that one. Let things loose. But listen to me, church. So Paul gives that focus. He says it's going to be a tough subject. He says, I want you to have an open and honest attitude towards me. And not only that, but listen. He says, I want you to trust me, church. I've been among you. I've served you. I've loved you. He says, have I steered you wrong in the name of Jesus? I need your trust. And listen to me, church. The only way that a church can ever move forward, an only way that the church can ever take that next step and to do so together as the body of Christ, is first the minister must have a love for his people. Can I tell you, I've been overwhelmed so far this month by the amount of appreciation that I've received from y'all, whether it be through cards or gifts or donuts with my face on them. Listen, and somebody asked me, Pastor, did they do something for you? And I've said, yeah, they do stuff. They maybe do a thing together as the congregation every once in a while. I said, but what I absolutely love about this church is that they don't need to be told of a specific month to appreciate their pastor. I said, I feel appreciated and loved every single month that I'm here. And I would hope that that's a return of the love and affection that you get from me. Yeah, we drive one another crazy. Yes, I will annoy you. Yes, I will annoy people when it comes to how chairs get set up and how things need to look nice and neat on a Sunday morning because we are to present our best to the Lord. I will annoy you about structure. I will do. But listen to me. When I bring you stuff, I need you to trust me that I'm bringing it to you out of God's Word. I'm bringing it to you out of love and adoration. I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your pastor. And I want you to grow in your faith. I don't want you to grow in liking me. I I want you to grow in loving me because you know I'm always looking out for what's best for your spiritual interests. And so there are going to be some times that we do things that you're not going to like, or I'm going to say things that you're not going to like, but I'm asking you, I've been here for 10 years, and if you've been here with 10 years for me or with me, listen to me, I would hope that over that time we have grown a rapport that even if you don't necessarily completely understand what I'm leading you to or completely understand where we're going, that you would give me the benefit of the doubt and trust me and listen to me. Because that's the healthy relationship of a church and its leaders, that I can tell you the tough truths when you need to hear them. Listen to me, that you can tell me the tough truths when I need to hear them. So he sets that framework already. And he shows us just exactly what he is calling the Corinthian church to do. To be a light in Corinth, to bear the glory of God, to take that next step as the church in Corinth for the glory of God. Look with me at verse 14. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now you may be saying, well, hold on, Pastor Jeff, didn't we talk about unity a couple weeks ago? We need to be together. Yes, that was with your Christian brothers and sisters. But listen to me, when it comes with you as a believer and the outside world and an unbeliever, there is not supposed to be a connection. You're different. There's different things and different standards and different lifestyles. You serve a God and they don't. You have a Savior and they haven't accepted Him yet. You live by Scripture and they don't. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. What Paul is talking here in verse 14, by the way, the whole entire way through this, you're going to see that Paul is constantly referring back to Old Testament Scripture. Constantly referring back to Old Testament Scripture. You know what I absolutely love about that? Because that is what Paul would have had back then. He didn't have his New Testament. The Holy Spirit's leading him to write the New Testament. So everything that Paul is saying to them, you want to see a sign that he loves them? He's giving them Scripture to back it up and reinforcing scriptural values. He's giving them truth. And so what he's talking about here actually comes out from Old Testament law, talking about be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He's talking about the law back in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10, where God forbid the plowing of a field by two separate animals. Now, the main animal that would plow the field and work in the field would be an ox. And it was forbidden specifically in Deuteronomy 22:10 that you could not put an ox together with a donkey because they had nothing in common. They were unequally. They could not come under the same yoke to do the same work. And that's what Paul is referring to here. He says, look, you cannot have a union with unbelievers. You are the called out assembly. You are the ecclesia. You are the church. And Corinth, I'm getting tired of you mingling with the world and with you partnering with the world and with you coming under the things of the world. It's damaging your rapport. It's damaging your testimony. It's damaging the work that the Holy Spirit wants to do in you in advancing the Gospels. He says you got to not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. They don't have the same interests as you. He goes down through and he has a whole entire comparison here. Look with me. I mean, think about it, church. If you're a Christian, if you are a born-again Christian, if you were once blind and now you see, if you are redeemed in the Lord and you are a child of God and you aren't who you were before, think about this with me. This is very logical of what he's laying out. And it may not be popular to hear in 20 and 19, but God's truth never goes out of style. All right? It says what? It says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You are a righteous child of God. Why would you continue to associate with the unrighteous? It says, what communion hath light with darkness? Why would you, who are children of the light, continue to have communion and fellowship with those who are in darkness? It says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? He's saying, please tell me, how is Jesus walking hand in hand with Satan? He's not. Why are you? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, the infidel word is strong. That means someone who not just has not believed in Jesus Christ, but the infidel word there means someone who has denied Jesus Christ. He said, you have nothing in common. He said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Y'all worship God. They don't worship God. They worship other things. They worship idols. They worship, and we're not just talking about brazen idols, folks. We can worship a lot of different idols in our day and age today. We may not be bowing down to a golden calf, but you bow down to the almighty dollar a lot. We bow down to our comfort a lot. Let me just wrap it all up. We bow down to ourselves a lot, rather than bowing down to the Lord. It says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says, look, you're not supposed to have these relationships with the world. You're not supposed to have these relationships with unbelievers and people who are outside. Now you may be saying, well, hold on, Pastor Jeff. I have unbelieving family. I have unbelieving friends. I have unbelieving... That's not what Paul's talking about here. He's not telling you to just blow off your family who are unbelievers. He's not telling you to blow off your friends who are unbelievers. What Paul is talking about here is that you are not supposed to participate in the sinful worldly things that unbelievers do. You are not supposed to partner in the sinful worldly things that unbelievers do. You are not supposed to be in the same account and accord of sinful things that unbelievers do. In fact, if it's something that would lead you to sin that an unbeliever is doing, or something that would even tempt you to go down the wrong road and ruin your testimony and not give glory to God, he's saying, stay away from it. Nothing good can come about from it, church. And we in 2019, boy, do we like to toe that line. We like to see sometimes just how close we can get without going over, without falling into sin, without being in the consequences and being a part of it. Look, church, Paul said it even best at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. He said what? He said, bad behavior corrupts good character. Don't associate. Don't go there. Stay separate. Don't have communion. Now you might be saying, well, hold on, Pastor Jeff. Not only do I have family, but are you telling me I'm having a problem? You know, this affects every single area of my life. It should. It should. But you see, we can take it to extremes that are unhealthy. All right? And I don't believe the Apostle Paul here is talking about the extremes that we often sometimes as a church take it to that give the church a bad name. All right? There are some people who think, well, just because they're an unbeliever, I will shun them and not even talk to them. Just because they are an unbeliever, I'm not even going to give them the time of day. Just because they're an unbeliever, I'm going to beat them over the head with the wrath of God and the judgment of God constantly. No, that's not what it's talking about. You see, in the church at Corinth, I think Paul is telling this them in 2 Corinthians to straighten out some of that misbelief that they had when he wrote to them in 1 Corinthians. Because he had talked to them about, do not, this is a recurring thing with Paul. Remember, Corinth was very much embedded with cultural ideas. And he's saying, look, I want you to understand something. He said, the church at Corinth had so much removed themselves that they were no longer being a witness of the glory of God to them. You see, folks, we can have a difference between us. We cannot participate in the things of the world and the ideas of the world, but it doesn't mean that we cannot go forth and show the love of Christ to the world. We still have to witness. We still have to be light. We still have to be salt. We just got to watch that we don't partake. Amen? Are you following me here? He's saying there are big things that we need to watch here. Look at what he says here in verse 16, the second last part. And why is this? He says, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." What a powerful statement for you to remember. You know, Pastor, what's the line here? What should I be a part of and what should I not? How close am I getting? What's the line? And this and that. Listen to me. Remember this. If you are a Christian this morning, you are the temple of God. Amen? The Holy Spirit has come and lived inside you. I praise God that I don't have to go somewhere to find the Holy Spirit. But as a child of God, the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of me. Amen? Amen. Are you with me this morning, church? Come on now. Are you realizing what I'm saying to you? You are carrying around the very presence and essence of God Almighty. Therefore, Paul says, listen what he reminds you. Since you're carrying it around, it says, he dwells in you. He walks with you. He is your God, and he will be with his people. You want to know the dividing line here? Every single place you go, every single person you come encounter with, every single thing that you do in your job, listen to me, you need to remember that God is with you and you take him wherever you go. And if Jesus Christ would not be a part of what you are being asked to do or being tempted to do, or if it goes against scriptural teaching or if it goes against biblical principles, let me remind you, Jesus is with you. You ain't ever going to hide from you. And if he is with you and you partake in sinful things, you're dragging his name through the mud. And I don't know about you, I don't want to soil the name of God Almighty. I don't want to lead people away from the Lord. I want to bring people to the Lord. I want to be salt and light for the Lord. And so Paul's telling them, listen, don't be unequally yoked, because God is with you. Look at verse 17. He gives them the recommendation for it. He says, wherefore, come out from among them. Wherefore, come out from... Listen to this calling. He's saying, he's basically telling the church, you're there. I'm calling you out for what's going on. There are people who are doing these things that I'm telling you not to. Come out. Come out. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Come out from among them. You want to know what I want you to see here this morning in that verse? Maybe you look back over the list that God or that the Lord has given through Paul in the verse, and you say, yeah, I can see. I'm involved in that. I'm connected with that. Yeah, I've really struggled here. Yeah, there's sin in my life in this area. Yeah, the glory of God's not shining here. And you're looking at all those things that Paul has listed. Can I tell you, the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is to be holy and to be separate and to take that next step is as simple as what Paul just wrote in that verse. He says, come out. It doesn't say 50 Hail Marys. It doesn't say go to the temple and make a huge donation and be absolved. It doesn't say you have to do A, B, and C. All it does is say you just need to come to your senses and you need to walk away. Walk away from the world and, praise God, walk into Jesus. You know, I'm so glad that that's how God's grace works. Amen? No questions asked. No questions asked. Just walk away from it and walk to Jesus. Come out from among them and be separate. Be separate. You know, we live in a world today that constantly wants to unify. Everybody needs to get in a circle and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. We need to be like the Smurfs and just sing la 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 la. That's a throwback for some of y'all. Listen. You know the last time the world tried to unite and unite and unite and unite? Read the book of Genesis. The Tower of Babel. You know what God did? Said, this ain't good. Because the more man gets together in unity, you know what happens? Sin abounds. Because we're sinners. That's why when we are called to unity, we are called to unity what? In Christ. We unify under Jesus and under His Word. A complete difference. But we are not called to unify with people outside of His Word and outside of the Bible. It says, unequally yoked, be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You know what he's doing here? He's quoting from Isaiah 52, verses 11 through 12. Isaiah 53, verses 11 through 12. And this is when God was calling the Israelites out of captivity. Did you hear me, church? He's calling the Israelites out of captivity. The Apostle Paul is likening the church being intermingled with the unbelieving people and doing business with them and associating with them and taking on their customs and compromising their biblical convictions as being in captivity. You know, we get freed in Jesus Christ, and oftentimes we willingly go back and put the chains and the shackles on. Jesus wants you to walk out of that jail cell and be free in Him, be free indeed. And so he's saying, look at what Jesus says. He says, look, if you come out and if you are separate and you stay clean, he says what? I will receive you. I'm not going to turn you away. I'm not going to turn you away. Look at this. And I will be your a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Praise God for a promise that we have when we have to separate. Because listen to me, church, it's not easy to separate, is it? It's not easy to separate, is it? It's not. Especially when you separate and you take a stand for things against the world. Because you will be ridiculed. You will be made fun of. You will be persecuted. But listen to me. You take that promise with you. I will receive you. And you will be a father, I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Listen to me, church. When Paul was writing, or when Paul is quoting Isaiah, and Isaiah is saying it to the Israelites in captivity, because some of you may be saying, well, hold on, Pastor Jeff. Is this a verse where it's saying basically I can lose my salvation? That when I associate with the world after I'm saved, that I'm unsaved, and now God is receiving me back? No. You got to take the Old Testament context and now put it in New Testament terms. All right? The Old Testament here, yeah, Isaiah is telling Babylon, he's saying, yeah, you have strayed from the Lord. Salvation back then was by keeping the law. You have strayed from the Lord. But praise God, He has made a promise unto you, Israel. You will always be His sons and daughters. And God is calling you out. And Israel, all you have to do is repent and you can come unto Him. And He will take you back as His sons and His daughters again. And He will be with you, and He will use you mightily. But listen to me, church. Go over to verse 1 of chapter 7. This is where it comes in for you and me. Because you take that same verse, and now you apply it to New Testament context. It says, having therefore these promises. This is now the Apostle Paul writing, not quoting the Old Testament. Having therefore these promises. Those promises were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. They are now foundational. They cannot be changed. He's saying, church at Corinth, when you are already sons and daughters. Church at Corinth, you are already being used of the Lord. Church at Corinth, you are already received unto Jesus Christ. Therefore, you should know this all the more. And you can walk in the light of Christ. You can walk in the way that He wants you to. You can live your life under the glory of God. You can be separate for the glory of God. You can take a stand so the light will shine in the darkness. Because these promises are already there. He reminds them of their salvation and He presses them towards their sanctification. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So the worship team gets ready to come up and lead us in a final song today. And we have some time in prayer before the altar of God. I want you to take a good, long look at yourself today. Some of you may be saying, well, Pastor Jeff, you just preached a message about coming out from among them and separating ourselves for the glory of God. Pastor Jeff, do you have particulars for that? And listen to me, I'm not going to assign any particulars to you today. And the reason being is because the particulars can be different with each and every one of us by the liberty of God in His holy word. All right? I'm not going to give you some straightforward things of you don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't go with girls who do. All right? I'm not going to give you some rules that you have to follow, because when you go down those rules, folks, it only leads to legalism and someone saying, well, if you don't do this, then there's no way you're saved. Or if you don't do this, then there's no way you're a Christian. Listen to me. Listen to me. I am not here and the church is not here to make copies of me or for you to make copies of yourselves. We're here to make followers of Jesus Christ. And that's different for each and every one of us in the liberty of the faith that we have. All right? There may be some things that God tells you through prayer, you need to stay away from this and be separate, that He'll tell somebody else, this is necessarily an issue, you can get a little closer to be a witness for me. Okay? But listen to me, the only time that there should be a intermingling or a covenantal, or not even covenantal, but a crossing over of the unholy and the holy, is to witness and proclaim the glory of God. To be a witness. And sometimes that comes from actually speaking it. Sometimes it just comes from you being and showing the love of God in their midst. And it was one of the early church fathers, I can't remember who it was, but he says, we as Christians should always be witnessing about the gospel. And when necessary, we should use words. We should always be proclaiming the gospel, and when necessary, we should use words. Look, where that dividing line and what you need to come out from today is between you and the Lord. But I can tell you this, I want to give you this standard. Because if you have this standard, I can guarantee you, you will always know where that line is, and the Lord will always fulfill His promise of leading you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Listen to me, the very first thing is you need to be saved. All right? You're not going to be able to come out from the world unless you're saved. In fact, that's what salvation is. Amen? Coming out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. You realizing that you are a sinner and there's no way you can save yourself through words of righteousness, and that only the precious blood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that was made for you on the cross will bring you salvation. That's what you need to know. That's the first step. You need to be saved. Are you saved today? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone? Pastor Jeff, you don't know my history. Pastor Jeff, you don't know what I've done. Listen to me. I don't care. You know who does? Jesus Christ. He knows all of it. Even the things that you have never shared with anybody and the vile wretchedness of your sin that you feel is so bad. Listen to me. The blood of Christ covers it all. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The blood still works, church. and you can be saved here this morning. That's the first calling out. Come out from among them today. Stop beating yourself up in the darkness of this world. Stop trying to earn your righteousness by yourself. Come out from among them and accept Jesus Christ and his free gift of salvation. But if you're here today and you have accepted Jesus Christ and you want to know how to walk in the ways and come out and be of salt and light to the world and show the glory of God, listen. First thing, spend time in this book. Spend time in this book. And spend time in prayer. You want to know how to come out from among them and be separate and take that next step in faith? Listen to me, church. It's that simple. Spend time in this book and spend time in prayer. And listen to me, as you walk with the Lord and you talk with the Lord and you read His Word, the Holy Spirit inside of you will connect with the Holy Spirit that's around us, and He will show you in your life what needs to be cleaned up, what needs to be cut off, what needs to be cut out, and who you need to associate with and who you don't need to associate with. He'll lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, church. He'll show you where to go. He'll tell you who to go in contact with. He'll do it. You won't need to hear it from me. He'll lead you. That's why it's so vitally important to be in His Word. And you may be saying, well, hold on, Pastor Jeff. I'm here today and I've done that and I'm still doing it. Listen, the last step is surrender. When you pray and you read His Word and He shows you what needs to be cut out and what you need to come out from of the world, surrender. Do it. Do it. That's the toughest part of all of it, is to actually do it. But listen to me, if you don't surrender to what God wants, I can guarantee you this, you won't have rest. You're going to be wrestling with God for a long time. You're going to be fighting with God for a long time. See, the whole entire point of you being saved, you see, God took you just as you are. Praise the Lord for it. But now His job before He takes you home to glory is to clean you up the best way possible for His honor and glory so you can be a testimony to take as many people with you. You see, the Lord does the catching and He does the cleaning. It ain't my job to clean you. It's my job to tell you how to get clean. It's the Holy Spirit's job to clean you and to call you out and to separate you for His glory and His honor. Spend time in the book, spend time in prayer, and surrender when God deals with you. Pastor Jeff, the Lord is not dealing with me on anything. Well, then go back and do the first two. Spend time in prayer and spend time in the book. Because let me tell you, the Lord still does stuff in me and shows me things every single day. I am not going to be a finished work or a finished product until I take that last breath and I go home and I'm perfect in the presence of Christ. Until that time, there's some sin that needs to be washed off. There are some things I need to come out of. There are things that I need to be cut off from for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. He's always doing a sanctifying work, church. He's still working on me, amen, to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and special I must be, because He's still working on me. Amen. Those Sunday school songs still work. Will you bow your head in prayer with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much